Our 10-minute speaker is Steve B. from San Diego.
I'm Steve, an alcoholic. You know, one of the joys of being sober for a while is that you get to go to meetings and see folks that you met in your early sobriety, and it's always an adventure. And Janet, welcome as a newcomer, and buckle up, girl, because this ride is an amazing adventure, and good luck with that. And Eric, congratulations on your 90 days, and Steve and Paul, happy birthday. I had my first drink when I was 7 years old, and my father had this pantry in which he kept his booze and his cigarettes, and he was kind of a connoisseur of alcohol and tobacco. And I have a twin brother, and we used to take some of Dad's smokes and go out in the woods and smoke. And if we thought that we were going to get caught, why, we'd pick up half-smoked cigarettes along the street. And there was this adventurousness about us that I would like to call it that. People of authority chose different words. But many days I'd walk by my dad's closet that was full of alcohol and not think about it at all. But one day I stopped in my tracks and thought, man, what is this stuff? And the sun would go through the window and hit this closet, and this alcohol would glow into browns and golds and some clear. I thought, man, I want to try this, and I did. And I would have gotten away with it if I didn't have that tendency, you know, to want more. And so I was just a young kid, you know. I had a second and a third, and my sister saw me, and I was turning white, and I was starting to throw up, and she panicked. She was a year older, and she was really a good child. She panicked over the fear of her brother being too ill, and so I got caught. And I refer to myself as a periodic in that I didn't have another drink for about 7 more years. And I didn't have a drink until I could really create some distance between myself, my sister, and my dad. And it was just a safer place to drink. And but anyway, I hear about folks talking about the alcoholic tendency before they become really alcoholic. And for me, it was acting out and misbehaving. And I struggled with authority at a young age. Like I can remember back. Preschool, where I had my first encounter. Not my first encounter, but I remember that encounter very vividly. And they used to have this thing, it was you'd take a nap on a rug. And I always thought those were long naps. And one day I really had to go to the bathroom, and I raised my hand and got up, and this monitor followed me in. And as I stood before the urinal, she was peeking over my shoulder, and I kind of froze, you know. And she accused me of just wanting to be playful. And so during recess, I had an experience to lie on the mat. It was painful, kind of holding it all in, you know, because I really had to go to the bathroom about an hour before this. And I just felt rebellious. And I'm trying to justify, obviously, to you this sense of rebellion that I experienced. But I'll tell you one story. My brother and I grew up on a lake, and we did a lot of water skiing. And after supper one night, we went and took a short run on the lake. And we would always want to ski on the windward side of the lake, because that's where the glass was. And so we were kind of close to the shore, and one of our neighbors came out and pounded his fist, and he was furious because his boat was rocking. And without a word, I forget who was driving the boat, my brother or I, but we did a nice turn and came back in a straight line. And we sent a 30-foot wall of water over Mr. Ames and drenched him, his dock, and his boat feeling justified, obviously. And we got home, and Dad said, "How'd the skiing go, boys?" And we knew right then and there that we were caught. And Dad said, "You know, Mr. Ames came over and was soaking wet from head to toe, shaking with anger and rage, and said, 'Dean, you got to do something about these boys.'" And that type of experience was following me all my life, through my drinking and even into my sobriety. But I did what a lot of men did, and that is once I graduated from college and I spent some time in graduate school hiding out from the draft board and anti-war from day one. Lost my train of thought. Figured that a good way for me to deal with my drinking was to work hard and become what I did. And that's what I did for the last probably 5 years of my drinking. Worked hard and would evaluate who I was, what kind of person I was, by how much money I made. And a lot of guys do that, a lot of gals do that. And it can be so painful and it can be so isolating in our alcoholic drinking and in our insanity that for a lot of us, this is how we survive. This is how we prevent ourselves from killing ourselves. And it worked for me. And at some point, the drinking got so bad there was no place for me to run from the truth of what was going on in my life. And that happened one night. We had been drinking all day, my family, and I would read to my daughter every night. And that night, I scolded her and went downstairs and finished my drinking. And the next day is when I went into my first AA meeting and thought, man, this is too painful. There is no way that I can run from the truth of what alcohol, the grasp it has on me. And my twin brother had gotten sober 2 years before then, and my baby brother, who was in treatment for the first time when he was 14, had gotten sober. And I was the oldest boy, the oldest twin. And I knew, and both my parents were sober. My dad got sober when I was 12, my mother when I was in my early 20s. And they both died sober. And they showed me how to live my life, how to live their life sober. And my two brothers showed me how to get sober. And I walked into my first meeting. It was on University and 30th. And I heard my story. And I wasn't sleeping under the bridges or I wasn't eating out of garbage dumpsters. But it was that tremendous pain that us alcoholics can feel when we're in the grasp of the disease and the insanity of it all and the thinking and the behavior and the actions. And I had this sense that first meeting that I could go a day without drinking. And I threw myself into the program. I went to a ton of meetings. I hung out with a bunch of guys that had great sobriety. And I got a sponsor. Some of you know Dick Sorrell. He passed away a long time ago, but he was a man full of a lot of love and a lot of intelligence, and he loved the steps. And he took all his guys through the steps, and we were privileged to have him in our life. But I was so full of rage and so full of anger, and Dick would say to me, "You know, Steve, for you, all we want is for you to have a willingness to be honest. We're not going to demand honesty today, but if you're going to have a willingness to be honest, you know, that's a good place to start." And so I practiced that, and I practiced being teachable. And I was, like a lot of us, extremely judgmental. I could categorize folks that I met in 2 seconds, not knowing a thing about them. And in sobriety, We get to work these steps. We get to pay attention to our mentors. We get to learn that there's a much better way of interacting with people. And I've been lucky. I've had two sponsors. Dick Sorrell passed on, and I've had two sponsors that have taken me through the steps. And and today, the terror that greeted me is no longer a part of my life. I heard a bell. Thank you so much.
I would like to